Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable. And I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear.
Trust and Will.
Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/FUTURE.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
All eyes, of course, on Davos as President Donald Trump will arrive in Switzerland. The conversation surrounding Greenland is set to dominate the day as Trump ramped up his rhetoric yesterday when he was asked at a White House news conference how far he was prepared to go to seize Greenland. He replied, "You'll find out." So is this the chance for Europe to finally stand up to Trump? For more on this, I'm joined by Tánaiste and Minister for Finance, Simon Harris. Tánaiste, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
We are in a particularly tricky situation, are we not?
This is an extraordinarily dangerous time, I think, not just for Ireland, for Europe, but for the world, because, you know, if we were to get to a point where Greenland was annexed in any manner or means, it would be a real Rubicon moment, an existential moment where discussions wouldn't simply be about what level of tariff or what would the impact on trade be, but it would be a moment that would fundamentally alter the transatlantic relationship. Now, having said that, I think it is important to be calm, have cool heads prevail here and work our way through this step by step, because Donald Trump likes to talk about holding the cards and who holds the cards. Like, let's be very clear here. He doesn't hold all the cards. I was in the United States last week talking to some of the biggest multinational companies in the world. You know, they still need to and want to do business with the European Union. They need access to a market of more than 400 million people. And the transatlantic relationship isn't a one-way relationship. And we've seen in the past when President Trump went on his kind of tariff adventurism, the impact that it very quickly had on markets and very quickly had on US workers in terms of their own pension funds and the like. So there's a way to go in this, and there's a window between now and the 1st of February where we have to kind of not play on his pitch or respond to his vulgarity or bombast, but just work our way through this calmly, logically with European partners.
Now, at the same time, appeasement, and that's what Europe did last year. I mean, to allow the imposition of a 15% tariff on European goods going to America and zero tariff on American goods coming in. I mean, that was such a one-sided deal, and Europe just capitulated.
Well, I think when you look at it on balance, it was one of the better deals that was done with the Trump administration across the world. And we also have to be very careful when we're doing these deals to make sure that any position or decision we take at a European level doesn't end up accidentally harming us more than it would have an impact on the US economy. And certainly, I can absolutely tell you, as this country's finance minister, had we seen kind of tit for tat tariffs or retaliatory tariffs by the European Union, while it might have made people feel better for a few minutes that we were, inverted commas, standing up to the Trump administration, it would have had significant economic consequences here as well. So there does need to be, I suppose, both principle and pragmatism in terms of how you engage with this very challenging situation. But being really truthful, Pat, what we were dealing with before the summer was almost relatively straightforward compared to what we're dealing with now, because now this isn't just about trade or tariffs. This is a threat to try and take what is effectively European territory, what's part of the sovereign kingdom of Denmark, which is a member of the European Union, and it's simply a moment that is existential.
Now, yesterday we had contributions from various politicians at Davos. We heard from President Macron, who said we want respect, not bullying. And then he hightailed it off home because he felt that Trump had betrayed him by showing a private message from him to the president saying, you know, we can do business on Syria, we can do great things on Iran, but what are you at? And then Trump displays that to the world. We had the Belgian Prime Minister saying, Trump, you're crossing red lines and Europe cannot be a miserable slave to Trump. We played clips of Mark Carney's speech yesterday, which was a brilliant statesman-like speech, really having a go at the Trump administration. And Canada has much more to lose, you might think, than Ireland in that relationship if it's fractured between it and the United States. So do we need to find our voice?
Well, I think we very clearly have our voice. I mean, just to be crystal clear, Ireland will be part of any European response here. And if President Trump proceeds with any effort to annex Greenland, or indeed with any effort to inflict additional tariffs on member states of the European Union, there will be a European response. I've spent the last 2 days with colleagues from across the European Union in Brussels considering this. Later today, I'll attend an extraordinary summit of the European People's Party, bringing together leaders and prime ministers from across the EU. If we get to a situation on the 1st of February where President Trump proceeds with his threats, either threats in relation to Greenland or threats in relation to additional tariffs, this country through the European Union will respond. There's no question in relation to that. But we also, I think we would be failing in our duty, all of us, if we didn't use the brief period of time that exists between now and the 1st of February to see if there's a way forward. Because I genuinely believe when you strip away the bombast, when you strip away the noise, when you strip away the Truth Social posts and the behaviour sometimes that if you saw it from your children, you'd tell them to stop. When you strip away all of that, the reality is the United States still requires Europe economically, requires Canada economically. And if we all work together and pull together in terms of a response, and that will have an impact. I mean, President Trump is not immune from the reality of midterm elections this November. He's not immune from the fact that many of the people who voted for him, who support him, would be poorer as a result of a trade war. And we have to show strength and resolve in the hours and days ahead.
But how do you do business with an administration? And I mean, I'm not one who characterizes all Americans as being Trumpers or MAGA supporters. Mm. I know the numbers and I look at all the polls as they're coming up. And pretty much on every issue that Trump was elected on, he is underwater on those issues at the moment. But how do you do business with, you know, you had your counterpart, Scott Bessent, talking yesterday, and he said, so I would urge all countries to stick with their trade deals. We've agreed with them. But they don't stick with any deals. So how do you deal with people like that who do a deal with you and then reverse out of it, you know, if it's convenient?
So I know it might sound like a pedantic point, but as of now, they haven't actually broken the deal. So what we have as of now are the musings and the assertions and the threatening language in relation to what they intend to do on the 1st of February. If they deviate from the deal, well, the European Union will respond. We'll respond in an unflinching, coordinated, united manner. And they need to be under no illusion in relation to that. You are also right, though, to make the point that the United States is bigger than any one person. And, you know, I am really conscious of that. I was very conscious of it when I was in California last week when I met with Governor Gavin Newsom. Very conscious of the fact that there's so many people who have woken up this morning in Ireland to go to work in US companies employing more than 200,000 people. So the relationship is enduring. And, you know, it will outlast any one presidency. And you just have to work your way and navigate your way through what is a challenging time. But with the Trump administration, you always have to separate from what they say from what they do. And we have been here before in a different context where they say they're going to do A, B and C. And then actually, when the world responds and engages and says, well, hang on, if you do that, we're going to do this, they do reverse course. So I think anybody who can predict with certainty what President Trump is actually intending to do is certainly a braver or perhaps more foolish person than I am.
One of the listeners has been on. Lately, there seems to be no nuance to the Trump question. Trump is just a figurehead. What's happening right now is US policy. Europe is an economic basket case. Its policies for ordinary people in Ireland have been financially disastrous. If it wasn't for the US, Ireland would be an economic backwater. Brussels has been attacking our relationship with the US for years. Most people of my generation secretly agree with Trump's policy. Don't know what generation that is, but that's a pro-Trumper believing that what America's doing is right.
There's a few of them around, but let me push back against the idea. I mean, this dissing the European Union might be coming into vogue. But the best decision we ever made as a country, other than our decision to be independent, was joining the European Union. We're a small open trading economy that has joined a block of more than 400 million people. Through that, we've managed to open up new markets, we've managed to make social progress, and we've managed to make economic progress. There's absolutely no doubt our European membership is in our economic interest. And we need to be very careful about talking about the European Union as though it's something that isn't a part of us. We're around the decision-making table. I was sitting there with European colleagues for the last 2 days. The Taoiseach will head to the European Council tomorrow. I'll meet with European colleagues later today. But there is a point, while I don't agree with that listener's assertion or their framing, there is a broader point about controlling what we can control. And it is fair to say that Europe is too sluggish when it comes to innovation, when it comes to competitiveness. The simplification agenda is too slow. So we absolutely do need to do more as a European Union to make ourselves a bit more self-sufficient, whether that's on things like security and defence, or whether it's on things like innovation and making sure that, you know, we can't reduce ourselves in the European Union or in Ireland to just commenting on what happens in the White House for the next 3 and a bit years. We actually have to also make sure that we continue to do all that we can to make ourselves competitive and resilient. For example, in Ireland, that means significantly ramping up spending on infrastructure to make our economies and society more resilient.
Now, do we have any sense of what those big multinational American companies in Ireland really feel about Trump? We know the bosses will go and you know, bow the knee to Donald Trump and be photographed with him, photo ops to show the tech bros are on his side. But do we have any sense of the temperature of their real feeling, or are they doing, as one listener says, just put the head down, this is a storm, one listener says, it'll pass, just keep the head down and then we'll get back to normal business? Is that, you know, do you have a sense of how American companies actually feel?
Yeah, I do, because I spent a lot of time with a lot of very large companies last week that invest in Ireland. And while I won't get into the politics, and indeed business people tend not to get into the politics, what is absolutely clear to me is that despite the noise in US politics, they're absolutely committed to their bases in Ireland. And they understand the importance of having access to the European Union. I often make the comment that they don't locate here for the weather. They locate here because they have access to a skilled labour force, to an ecosystem when it comes to our universities, research and development, a long track record, our pro-enterprise policies. And nothing that's happening in political discourse changes that business reality. They still need to have a European presence. Now, again, many of them would have strong views that Europe can do more to help itself in terms of competitiveness, in terms of reducing bureaucracy. I share that view. And during our presidency of the European Union later this year, we'll be really focusing on how you can ramp up Europe from a kind of economic and innovation point of view too. But I didn't detect any sense in my many engagements, and the government has lots of ongoing engagement, Minister Peter Birx in Davos today engaging, that these companies have in any way changed their calculus about the importance of working with Ireland and working with Europe. And I don't say that complacently. We work every day to make sure we're a good location to create jobs.
Okay, some more text coming in. The threat of tariffs have sent stock markets into turmoil. We saw losses in all the indexes yesterday in the United States. We have scared multinationals here on reinvestment. I work for a US multinational in Dublin. They've now paused a new project because of the news this week, all the uncertainty about tariffs and Greenland and all the rest. So, you know, this is real for them. They don't want to throw good money after bad.
So certainly the period, any period of uncertainty is not good for business and is not good for economic growth. We did, though, see last year a record year in terms of IDA investments in Ireland. So again, we are seeing, perhaps in a more low-key fashion than might have happened in the past, we are seeing US companies continue to ramp up their investment. But that listener is absolutely correct that when markets fear and when businesses fear that there could be a policy shift or a degree of uncertainty, it does slow down their investment decisions. And that's why when my department modelled the impact of tariffs, it wasn't that it was going to cause the Irish economy to stop growing, but it was going to reduce the rate of growth. It wasn't that it was going to cause the Irish economy to lose loads of jobs, but it was going to cause the Irish economy to create fewer new jobs. So none of this is consequence free. You know, billionaires and the likes can comment on, you know, policy and the likes. It's actually ordinary workers in Ireland, in the United States of America, right across the European Union that feel the impact. And I was in Washington last year, the day President Trump decided to pause the tariffs for 90 days. Your listeners will remember that. And it was very clear to me that the reason he was pausing the tariffs was the decisions that he had made were having a real impact on low-income workers right across the United States. And that's the point I keep on making. We can't forget in the hours ahead. Europe is not powerless here. President Trump needs the European Union. US workers need the European Union. US business need the European Union. And if we stay calm and collected and work our way through this, we actually have more leverage together than perhaps people think.
Yeah, one of my listeners says, Simon Harris keeps saying, let cool heads prevail here. Does he not realize he's dealing with a very unhinged person in Donald Trump?
Well, in my experience in dealing with unhinged people, the importance is not joining them. It's always important to try and rise above it. We are dealing with a very turbulent situation here. I've described it as existential. I've described it as potentially a Rubicon moment. We're hearing a United States president talking in vulgar terms about European countries and about wanting to take part of the sovereign kingdom of Denmark. This is an extraordinary time. And I don't in any way underestimate that. But I also know when the heat is on and when times are turbulent, leadership is actually about turning up and saying, well, what can we do here? How can we work our way through this? And it's certainly not by joining people in terms of inflammatory rhetoric. It's about working our way through it, playing the cards that we have and cooperating at a European level.
Now, one of those cards, it would appear, is the extent of our investment in US Treasury bonds. We seemingly are a huge investor globally in the US. In other words, we keep the US economy afloat by virtue of the number of bonds that we are involved in. So is that a weapon that we will, our National Treasury Management Organization will think about deploying?
So we have no current plans to do that. And the reason we have no current plans to do that is that we always take investment decisions that are in the best interests of the return for the Irish economy and for the Irish taxpayer. And we don't wish to do anything that inflicts a level of sabotage or damage on the Irish economy or the Irish people. But what we will see is our NTMA, the governor of the central bank, and senior officials in my own department meet tomorrow to monitor the situation from a financial and markets point of view. We'll also see the government's trade forum meet on Friday to engage directly with business stakeholders. I think, being very honest, if we're to look at the options and the range of options now, one would imagine the starting point for the European Union, of which we're a part, would be the €93 billion package of tariffs that we had identified during the summer. We suspended them when there was an agreement, and they could be put into place. If we arrived at that point, I would imagine that's the most obvious starting point. But there is a way to go. I mean, the 1st of February isn't far away on a calendar, I get that. But if a week used to be a long time in politics, 20 minutes now seems like an eternity at the pace in which things move, being very truthful about it.
Dánaiste and Minister for Finance, Simon Harris, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.